just with the time we've got left, what does this mean for the conservative landscape? Because that's what this all comes down to. Are we seeing a collapse in the vote for the coalition, for the Liberal Party and the National Party? How big a deal is this for them?
I think they've lost a lot of the goodwill. Like, let's focus on Farah to begin with. They lost a lot of the goodwill here, and those people were frustrated and looking for an alternative, and that alternative was One Nation. Whether One Nation's rise continues or it plateaus at some point or falls in support like it has in history, what remains to be seen. But I think for the coalition in the coming years, they will be looking to try and win back those voters from One Nation. And you saw that in the messaging from Angus Taylor last night. He's talking about migration. He's talking about a return to values. It's interesting that he talks about these values as well. So I don't know if you want to add anything here as well, because, you know, the Liberal Party's always been this broad church, especially since, you know, John Howard, one of their most popular prime ministers, he's wheeled out at every election. It talks about the broad church, about having these sort of more moderate liberals as well as the conservatives. But what you're seeing in Angus Taylor is a push to the conservative to try and win back that right flank that One Nation is taking from. And it'll be interesting to see whether they actually do get any more votes back from that, because it is a limited part of Australia ultimately, and that's probably not where they're going to win the next election.
I mean, I know we've talked about this phenomenon before, right? But I can't help thinking that if the Liberals' solution to this is to just mimic One Nation, then why wouldn't people just vote for the OG One Nation? Like, you know, they are absolutely in existential crisis if they're not only losing in the cities to the Teals, which they have done, but then they lose their conservative base in the regions, then they're absolutely stuffed. Like, there is, I don't think it's the end of the Liberal Party in Australian political life, but potentially, temporarily it is, because I think they're in a world of pain. And I don't think Angus Taylor has done anything, even though he's come out and he's been, you know, banging the anti-migration drum and he's been trying to be One Nation light. I don't think, clearly that's doing very little to turn around their fortunes.
If Angus Taylor continues to push towards this right flank, where does that leave the inner city moderate Liberal MPs? Do they then have to adopt the messaging of their much more conservative colleagues, or do they still have a space in the Liberal Party? If they still have a space in the Liberal Party, they're then trying to win those votes from more middle class Liberal voters who've traditionally supported the Liberal Party for those sort of more, you know, economic values rather than the social conservatism. It'll be interesting to see whether, you know, there's a sort of peeling off of, you know, a new political party in some way. Like, that is what the Teals have essentially been able to capitalise on in those seats. So where do those moderates go?
And just very briefly, Labor, is Labor on notice too?
I think Labor is on notice. You know, it's interesting to have a look at the pendulum and look at some of those seats in the regions that are held by Labor and the margins. I think they would be pretty nervous. I mean, there's very mixed views about how One Nation is going to do at the next election, and that might depend a bit on how this next 18 months goes with David Farley, right? Like, you know, that could end up being consequential. You know, David Farley said last night this was the end of the beginning, and we're about, you know, going through the ceiling. It was a sort of imperious metaphor. But anyway, there are quite a few seats held by Labor in outer metro, semi-regional areas, including where Pauline Hanson lives in Ipswich, the seat of Blair. I think it's got 6% margin or something like that. Labor would be very worried about this rise. And I think there are a clutch of Labor-held seats, Hunter, Patterson, Blair, you know, there are plenty of seats that are held by the Labor Party that could be very vulnerable to this orange wave. And I think they would be very nervous about that. Now, they are aware of that threat, but last night would have sent, like, they'll be quaking in the boots, quite frankly, and I think they should be.
Sarah Martin, Sarah Basford-Canales, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
That was political reporter Sarah Basford-Canales and senior correspondent Sarah Martin. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria and Joe Koning, who also did the sound design and mixing. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.
Full Story is supported by CommBank. CommBank is dedicated to using the latest tech to create real change. From utilizing agentic AI to outsmart cybercrime, to solving complex problems at scale, their teams support more than 17 million Australians every day. And you could be part of it. CommBank is looking for senior technologists to help influence strategy, security, and innovation across one of Australia's leading tech environments. If you're a curious mind who thrives on collaboration and is eager to engineer real impact, search CommBank Tech Careers.